You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
New travel restrictions to remote areas were rolled out last night to protect vulnerable Aboriginal communities. Indigenous youth workers are working to debunk dangerous myth that Aboriginal people don't get the coronavirus. And world leaders have agreed to coordinate efforts to address the coronavirus pandemic, pledging a combined $7.5 trillion to stimulate the global economy. This is NITV Radio News and I am Šárka Pechová. New travel restrictions to remote areas were rolled out last night to protect vulnerable Aboriginal populations. Indigenous Australians Minister Ken Wyatt spoke to NITV. He said that federal, state and territory governments are working together to try and stop the spread of COVID-19.
The Biosecurity Act is being enforced and Aboriginal remote communities will have restricted travel both in and out. What's more important is people coming into community will be isolated and will have to spend the mandatory 14 days in self-isolation. It's important that we protect our senior people within our communities, ensure the virus doesn't impact, and we protect our culture and our future.
State and territory governments will confirm which areas will be locked down. Support will be made available to people without the means to self-isolate. Speaking to NITV News, Indigenous Australians Minister Ken Wyatt also reinforced the nationwide ban on large gatherings, including funerals.
Any large gathering, a wedding or a funeral, have been restricted to small numbers. Weddings are five only. Funerals are 10. The reason we're doing that is because often at funerals in particular and weddings, we hug, we shake hands, and we've already seen people have birthday celebrations and the majority of people who have attended have been infected with coronavirus. We don't need that happening in our communities.
Indigenous youth workers, as ABC reports, are working to debunk dangerous myth that Aboriginal people don't get the coronavirus. Ms. Blair McFarland, operations manager from the Central Australia YouthLink app service, told ABC that there was misinformation circulating about the transmission of the coronavirus. Youth workers are using engaging and culturally appropriate ways to inform the children on how the virus can be contracted, how to protect, or how to recognize the symptoms. Kids are using art, dance, and games to learn about this serious issue. Songs were used also in Southeast Asia or South America and other places to inform communities about the virus and protection. In the bid to reach all Australians, warnings about COVID-19 are being translated to Aboriginal languages. Clear messaging about the coronavirus is the top priority for frontline workers and service providers in the Northern Territory, SBS reports. Radio presenter Sylvia Nulpindich told NITV that there is a glutton of information about the pandemic and that it is important to provide communities with a clear message in their language.
We have to sit down and work together to translate, and then we have to put it out for people to listen.
The Northern Territory government is also providing online audio information in at least 17 different Aboriginal languages. There are languages such as Tiwai. Walpiri or West Side Creole. But for those without access to TV, internet or radio, it is the soup kitchens where they are able to access vital information. Fran Avon, CEO of Northern Territory's St. Vincent de Paul, told NITV that the organization is working closely with Danila Dilba and Larrakia Nation to ensure that the communities get the important information about coronavirus.
We've been working closely with Danila Dilba and Larrakia Nation to ensure that the word and the message about coronavirus is being communicated in a way that is appropriate for people who don't speak English and who speak in another language.
Ms. Avon said that they are also asking anyone who can speak another language and English to translate for those who might not have as good understanding of English or it just feels safer coming to them in their own language. Victoria Police has established a dedicated operation on Tuesday. The aim is to enforce containment measures put in place to combat the spread of coronavirus. Police will conduct spot checks on returning travellers who should be in self-isolation and follow up tips received from the general public and other sources.
Police! G'day, are you Jane?
Yes.
Understanding you're under self-quarantine at the moment?
Yes, I am.
When did you start your self-quarantine?
Last Saturday.
Since you started self-quarantine, have you left your residence?
No, I have not.
What personal protective measures, like gloves and masks, have you implemented since being on self-quarantine?
Yes, all of that, and washing my hands regularly.
Excellent. Do you need any further assistance relating to your self-quarantine?
No.
All right, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
No worries, thank you.
Victorian authorities are also enforcing bans on indoor and outdoor gatherings at non-essential venues and businesses. Police will proactively patrol places of mass gathering, such as beaches and shopping centres, to ensure restrictions are being complied with. World leaders have agreed to coordinate efforts to address the coronavirus pandemic, pledging a combined $7.5 trillion to stimulate the global economy. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has taken part in the meeting of the G20 overnight via video link. In a joint statement, the G20 leaders have said combating the virus requires a large-scale, coordinated, transparent, robust, and science-based response. Russian President Vladimir Putin is suggesting the setting up of so-called green corridors for free movement of supplies and technologies being used to combat the epidemic.
It's no less important during the period of the crisis to create so-called green corridors, free of trade wars and sanctions for mutual supplies of medicines, food, equipment and technologies. Ideally, we should introduce a joint moratorium, waiving any restriction on supplies of essential goods and financial transactions for their purchase.
New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian says she's ready to move ahead of the Commonwealth and declare a lockdown across the state over the weekend, if required. New South Wales is the state hardest hit by COVID-19, recording more than 1,200 cases of the virus and 7 deaths. Around 16 patients are in intensive care, with 10 requiring ventilators. Ms. Berejiklian says her government is closely monitoring the impact Monday's nationwide shutdown of pubs, cinemas and churches is having on virus cases, and if the results aren't sufficient, further actions will be taken.
New South Wales is different to the other states, and if the information I get from the health experts suggests that the curve, as we call it, if cases aren't going in the direction we need them to go to, I will go further in New South Wales.
Into sports now. Australia will host the 2022 Women's Basketball World Cup. The tournament will be hosted over a 10-day period at Sydney's Olympic Park in September and October 2022. Australia has beaten out Russia for hosting rights. Australia were world champions in 2006 and finished third at the last World Cup. And let's have a look at today's weather. Broome, partly cloudy and 35. Perth, partly cloudy and 29. Adelaide, mostly sunny, 27. Melbourne, partly cloudy and 26. Hobart, mostly sunny, 21. Albury-Wodonga, sunny and 27. Canberra, partly cloudy and 21 degrees. Sydney, there is a possibility of early showers and then 24 degrees. Brisbane, possible shower and 27. Townsville, partly cloudy, 31 degrees. Cairns, showers and 30. Darwin today is partly cloudy and 35 degrees. Alice Springs, mostly sunny and 33. And Torres Strait Islands today are cloudy with showers and there's a chance of a thunderstorm, 29 degrees. And that's all from the news today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.